Alan.
Grez.
Here. And welcome to Rise of the Robots. Just before the start of the episode, just a quick reminder that if you want to hear our dulcet tones elsewhere, well, good luck finding it with Grez, because he's not on a podcast at the moment. He's mine! All mine!
Yep, I've actually just had the gag taken out of my mouth and the handcuffs taken off just so I can record this.
And meanwhile, if you want to hear me elsewhere, you can listen to the DCAU podcast, where Rebecca and I discuss DC animated movies.
And on the occasion, you can find me there. If you miss me.
I'm Alan.
Now have a beer for breakfast.
And you're listening to Rise of the Robots. This week we are covering Robot Wars, The Fifth Wars, Heat H.
By the sounds of it, you're also having beer for breakfast?
No, just wishing I did.
Hey, well, we're all off tomorrow. Time still.
Kayfabe, kayfabe. That's what you say whenever I acknowledge that we've batch record. Yeah, so Heat H, which...
Oh, yeah, because it'd be a Thursday.
This is a... This show, when you actually look at the lineup and the legacy of all these teams, well, apart from two, maybe.
Hmm.
This is an insane episode.
This is a pretty stacked one.
And we kick off with a Techno Games champion against some big flipper bot. Maestro, if you please.
Well, okay. From Wangport, Wheelie Big Cheese.
Wangport?
Langport?
No, when you said Wangport, I was like, maybe that's the porn parody version.
Yeah. Especially when we get into the second round with the dick measuring contest that is...
Oh, yes.
Over in... I've forgotten how to spell his name. There it is.
I know, right, yeah.
Yeah.
And there are opponents.
Yeah, yeah, Wangport, it's, that's where they record all the porno movies.
Yeah.
Yes, I'm not stalling for time or anything. From Swansea, Wolverine.
Who is the defending Techno Games Assault Course champion? Under the name Wolf. So...
Also, interesting associated robots. Remember Toe Cutter?
Yes.
That's an associated robot with Wolverine.
Yeah, two of the team members were.
Yeah.
Yes. I mean, it's an alright. This robot actually... Now, in all seriousness... This match originally... is a domination of Wolverine. Wolverine is just too fast... too well driven for Wheelie Big Cheese to actually get a good flip on. And then there's just this one moment, it just gets caught at the wrong place at the wrong time, and Wheelie Big Cheese is insane in this round. But the flip is just crazy. I know that there was, now I'm assuming it was this series, but I do know that there was some talk that Wheelie Big Cheese was using nitrogen as opposed to CO2. And which has since been banned.
Mm-hmm.
Because, well, nitrogen is just crazy powerful.
Yeah, one would think. And going by the way that Wheelie Big Cheese acts in this episode... I would probably imagine it's probably this episode.
Particularly because you can tell when they're maybe not.
But yeah, like, I do agree with you. Wolverine, like, looked really good for the short period that it had in this, and I couldn't help but feel if it was up against anybody else, it probably would have actually won. But it just had to get pitted up against Wheelie Big Cheese, so it was just fodder. But that's it's unfortunate for it. But I think, like, is this the last time that we see Wolverine?
Yes, it is. And that's a shame, because they, as I said, genuinely, until that one flip, it was actually probably doing better in the fight.
It's definitely winning on aggression. It was pivoting all about and flipping the stuff, and it was doing everything that it could do with a robot that can run both ways up and is just essentially a giant flipper. But sadly, Uta.
Our next match is
fun.
It certainly lights up the arena.
Yep, because from Reading, Granny's Revenge.
So Granny's Revenge, first of all, it's only 66 kilos. It is literally a remote control wheelchair with a giant dummy of a gran on it.
Dummy, yeah.
A dummy which I'm fairly certain is coated in paraffin.
Yeah, it has to be. Like, so the apparent weapon on this robot is the granny has a foot flipper, despite the fact that the granny's feet don't even go on the floor. And so Axel bumps into Granny's Revenge, and just instantly Granny has a broken ankle, and it looks kind of grim and painful because it's too lifelike.
Yep.
So now, here's the question, Ellen. Is she the granny of Andy Royd?
Probably.
Because this family tree of
Andy
robots
Royd
is terrifying. We have Granny's Revenge. We have Andy Royd. We have, what was her name? Was it Julie Bot?
Julie Bot, yeah.
I feel like Erica's Body Parts is there. She was like the cousin that clearly got murdered and then like dumped in a river. And there was little Barbie Bot as well.
Was the Barbie Bot not the one that looked like it was the way it operated, they put it face down. So you just see this miniature body floating face down.
That's a different robot, but like that one definitely as well is included in this terrifying family. Like the little Barbie bot I'm thinking was just a little Barbie that was on like a ski thing. But, right. Like, I remember you didn't like that one either. You were like, this one's creepy. And I thought, as far as humanoid robots go, this one was actually kind of cute, but you didn't like it, so it gets added. If one of us doesn't like it, it gets added.
So, anyway, it doesn't know what to do. It's driving around kind of confused. Like, do I hit it? And then eventually, it pushes Granny into Sergeant Bash. And the granny just lights up.
Yeah, like completely woofed. Like, definitely, as you say, it must have been like covered in some kind of paraffin or something to make it go up the way it did. Well, they were here for a fun time, not a long time, because then after that, Axor hits the pit button, and then something really weird happens. Refbot comes in and just tackles the granny, and they both go into the pit.
Well, what happens is Granny gets pushed into the pit, and then Axor just goes, "That looks like fun, in you go," and pushes Refbot in as well.
I suppose, yeah. It's just the way that it looked like Refbot was just like, ooh, granny, bleh.
I'm not going to kink shame RefBot.
Yeah, well, I mean, he does seem like a bit of a dweeb that doesn't get any in the house robots realm, so I guess he can take what he can get.
Or maybe he just has a type. Anyway.
Yeah, just RefBot's really any gilfs.
So, we have, we now have a little bit of animal warfare.
Yes. We've got one of my favourite teams. From Devon, Robo Chicken Evo.
So, this particular version of Robo Chicken is a half barrel shape with a flipper and an axe head.
No, that's not going to cut it. It's got a poultry plucker and a feather flipper or something along those lines.
It's if got I an had axe my and notes, a flipper.
If I had my notes, they yep. wouldn't be on there.
Anyway, its opponent.
From Hail, Crush Station. Crush Station.
Yeah. No,
I spent years just calling it Crush Station, and yeah. I'm realizing this actually got the crush pun in it, and it's like, well, that's news to me.
I, on the other hand, look at Crush Station and go, wow, this robot had anti-Weldor syndrome.
Yeah.
this has, you know how we talk about Weldor syndrome, or I think Thermidor syndrome is actually quite accurate as well.
Yeah, I think Thermidor's, like, more accurate at this stage, because I think Weldor's career is completely done.
Yeah. But no, this is the robot who's like, and the other one for me is Catfrey, where like I'm like going, oh no, this robot was crap and didn't do anything. And then you watch this match. So Crustacean is this kind of pill-shaped robot with claws. Now the main feature of this robot is the fact that the claws are controlled by hand.
Yes. They're rigged up to special gloves, so when whoever's wearing them grips their hands, the claws shut.
Yep.
Very ahead of its time.
Oh, massively ahead of its time. And this match, it's a little bit awkward just because it's two robots that kind of very unconventional designs, and when you have two robots that are unconventional together, it can sometimes just not quite tally together.
Yeah, like, Robo Chicken is a really weird shaped robot. So, like, Crustacean, I'm going to just start calling it Crustacean, to be honest, it's yeah. easier. There wasn't a lot for Crustacean to, like, kind of grab onto, and I feel like if you're going to have a fight like this, where you want to show off this very unique sort of weapon, you would want it to have kind of a robot they can get like a good grip onto to really show off the claws. And I felt like it was a bit of a detriment almost.
Yeah,
to,
this is more of a Crustacean. Control bot than a crusher bot.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a bit like, oh, what's it called? Not bag of nails. Tough as nails.
Yeah.
Or a can opener. It's like, the claws are there, but it is more, like, it's using the claws as part of the control, as opposed to, like, being like a Razor or Sir Killalot-style crushing
yeah.
weapon.
There is an awesome moment where, basically, Robo Chicken drives into the CPZ,
uh-huh.
and at first you think, oh, Sir Killalot's going to cut the axe off. And what it does instead is it hooks the head, the chicken head, on the axe. And you just see the two eyes bulge.
It was very cartoony. It was just like, meh. Oh, Yeah, I enjoyed the hell out of that as well. It was just the way they just got like comically large and like all disjointed.
So, and the match ends with Sir Kill-A-Lot doing the Kill-A-Lot swing.
Ah, the big swing. The big Sir K swing.
Yep.
Which he gets a lot of use of. I'm genuinely wondering if like the floor flipper got broke or something. Because we mentioned this a few episodes ago, like the first three episodes, almost every fight ended in the same sequence of bit of fire, floor flipper, and the pit. And now I can't say that I've seen the floor flipper in episodes.
Yeah.
So I'm genuinely wondering if they broke the thing.
Mm-hmm.
But I digress. So we went to a judge's decision. I can't remember if you said that or not, but I'll just say it again.
Yep.
And in a 2-1 decision, showing how close this fight genuinely kind of was, it's a crustacean victory.
Oh, 2-1. And yeah, it is a tight match.
And yeah, this is the kind of point where I was like, you know, props for fucking RoboChicken. Like, I feel like he was always kind of remembered as a joke robot. When really he wasn't really that bad.
Oh, no, no. RoboChicken's another one. It's a pair of anti-Wildor.
Yeah. I don't think it's had its biggest run yet. I think that might come in the next series.
No, I think it's 7. It has its big run.
Right. Okay. So it's not came yet is the point I'm trying to make here. So Keep our eyes out for RoboChicken in the coming seasons. But what we'll keep our eyes on now is our final first round fight.
Yep.
Because we have a returning seed from Hemel Hempstead, Behemoth.
We know what this means. We know what this means. There's going to be the curse. And I'm going to get to shout the curse really loud and break the mics again, because it's Behemoth, and they're always, it's always something wonky. It's never just legitimately beaten.
You know, apparently Behemoth's like full name is like Behemoth Evo, insert number here. So in this one, season 5, is Behemoth Evo 4.
Okay.
Apparently. According to the Robot Wars wiki, which I'm not dissing in any way.
No, we love the wiki.
Mm. And their opponent.
All kidding aside, we do love the wiki. The wiki is great.
Yeah. I can't even think of a time where I disrespected the wiki. Apparently I did. Somebody said I did.
Where?
You know, the certain same someone that makes fun of me for making wrestling references and disliking robots because I'm allowed my own opinion.
Oh, okay.
And his opponent, from Wallington. Oh my god, I blanked on his name. That's Supernova.
Supernova. Now.
This is not this robot's final form.
Oh, no, it's weird, actually, because it is one of these things with this team. Supernova is absolutely one of these robots that... I mean, I joke about cursed robots.
Mm-hmm.
This robot has no luck. I cannot believe this team never makes a semi-final.
I know, It's genuinely quite shocking because it's a very neatly built, I guess is the word I'll go for here. It's a very neatly built robot. Like, it's basic but has like a purpose. Like, yeah. it's just kind of a bit of a T shape, two wheels on the back, big old spinner on the front. It's not exactly like lighting the world on fire, especially in this season. Like later seasons when it gets the big Superman logo or Super Dude logo, because we don't want to get sued. Like it looks pretty amazing there. Like, so they judged it up, judged. But yeah, here it's pretty basic looking, but it's not any less powerful because
it rips Behemoth's flipper.
Yeah, the thing's dangling off by the end of the fight, and it was sheer luck that Supernova got beat in this fight, to be honest.
Oh, I mean, early on, it's a really, really close fight. It's kind of back and forth. Behemoth only really gets one attack.
And it happens to be the attack that kind of does Supernova in.
And then what happens is they then push Matilda, or they push Supernova into Matilda, and you just basically see the top of the robot fly off.
Yeah, like into the crowd.
And then after that happens, so it flips that on. Then there is whatever the padding is to protect the internals.
Mm-hmm.
That then goes flying off.
Yeah. But Supernova's still not dead yet. It still tries to fight back. It doesn't last long because Behemoth with its new and improved axe just gets in and just starts whacking said internals, and it just stops, like, very quickly after that. Then Behemoth gets Supernova down in the pit. We get a really good, like, camera angle from, like, above the action, and you can see, like, how twisted the chassis of Supernova is at this point.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It is, it's not a T-shape anymore.
And then
Behemoth throws Supernova down the pit, and then Matilda just rams her spinning blade, like, right into, like, Behemoth, and it's like, cease.
Yeah, that's a bit off.
Yeah, plus Behemoth did look a bit of a wreck coming out of this fight, like, the scoop hanging off. It would have been interesting to see what would have happened if it went to the judges, because I couldn't help but think Supernova probably would have won that in a judge's decision.
Kaz?
Mm?
Kaz?
Mm.
No, no Kaz.
Oh. No curse in this round.
Oh.
Let's see if we can find you a wee curse, eh? Kaz. We'll find you a wee curse. There's a wee curse for Alan.
Hi, Alan here, just taking a quick break from the action. Chris and I would like to thank a couple of the people that made this podcast possible. First, we would like to thank Greg Watt for the logo.
Our theme song is also by Technomax. You can find their music online at YouTube. That's just search for Technomax.
That's Technomax spelled TEKNOAXE. Semi-final.
Semi-final.
Right, anyway. So, right, we get to the semi-final. And let's be honest, this is the fight everyone remembers.
In your notes, you've written Behemoth cocks out Supernova.
What?
You wrote Behemoth cocks out. yeah, we should probably note that my laptop decided to delete my notes again this week, so yeah. I'm using Alan's notes. And so Alan now clearly has fantasies of Behemoth and Supernova doing unspeakable things to each other that he was clearly not expecting me to see.
Oh,
so our first semi-final, yeah. don't dig yourself any deeper into this hole than I've just put you in.
Okay, Daddy.
So you're the submissive type. I like that.
Anyway,
you speak when you're spoken to.
Before the podcast derails. What am I kidding? Of course it's fucking derailed. Anyway, so Wheelie Big Cheese versus Axel. always remember it being that Wheelie Big Cheese threw Axel over the top and behind it. So when you say, oh no, basically it just managed to get, like, side on, and it just... And yes, I know that the nitrogen's probably a part of it, if that's what happened.
Allegedly.
But I do think that it's probably more likely that it's just... It gets that angle, which means it just gets perfect lift.
To be honest, the distance wasn't actually as far as I remember it being either.
Oh yeah, everyone remembers it as like, oh no, it almost hit the ceiling.
I mean, like the distance traveled, like width-wise, I guess. I'll obviously remember it being a lot more in the middle of the arena than it was. It's actually a bit more off to the side. Like, closest, and then even then, like, it wasn't a clean flip out the arena, which, again, that's what I remembered it being. It flips, and it bounces off the side rail, and then goes outside. Not taking anything away from how incredible it was, it's just, you know, your old Mandela effect brain comes into play here.
Yeah, and it is one of those ones. So it's the story. Yeah, it's almost like this is a TV show that we saw like 20 years ago when we were like 11.
Almost.
So anyway, there is another semi-final.
We digress.
Curse.
Yeah, and this one will actually have some action in it.
Curse.
Well, let's see if we can get you a wee curse.
Curse.
So it was Belmont versus Crush Station. There's too many S's. What's the problem here?
And this is a hell of a fight.
It really is.
It's really tense. It's really close. And then there's this weird moment where Crush Station just manages to get Belmont. I don't know how it does it. Just kind of bowls Behemoth over?
It didn't look like throughout the fight that Crush Station was like a massively powerful pushing robot. But yeah, like it just... It almost like it just got the perfect angle. It got in under the scoop while the scoop was opened. And it was almost Behemoth like pushing itself over. Because... So the flipper's up, then Crush Station gets in under him, then as Behemoth kind of closes the flipper, it almost pushes the rest of the underbody up, which yeah. Then bowls over Behemoth onto his back, as you said, and some absolutely insane driving here, where just Crush Station just manages to completely pivot round and just perfectly plops Behemoth square in the pit. Absolutely incredible.
Oh, and it is. It's a perfect mess of driving, and it's absolutely Crustacean's effort. It is not in any way a curse. No curse.
Well, we tried. Said that this one was just down to being surely? No, that's not the word. It's just down to Behemoth just being completely outdriven.
Yeah, it's a brilliant, fantastic performance.
And then that's it. Behemoth is out in the second round. It's still really weird to think. This is Behemoth almost at its final form. It had its big old scoop and the axe to like kind of trap robots, so like it had everything now.
Yeah, it's bizarre because you kind of go no, but it's
but Behemoth like, always does well.
The Behemoth are amazing. Yeah. Actually, it's almost like They are. Victims of the cast. See, I was good and I stayed away from the mic.
Yeah. You did. You learned how mics work.
People said, oh, you can't see noise. No, people saw me back away there.
Oh, yeah. Hello, Bell. Sorry. I need to get up to get something, but Bell's sitting on me, so I have to pick her up like a child.
Fair enough.
So our final... We get the rundown of how we got here, you know, to Kill Town. So we get to see Willie Big Cheese's two sweet ass Utahs again, which I appreciate.
I mean, sure, this isn't gonna take long. We've seen what Willie Big Cheese is like. It's just gonna throw crustacean around. Its flipper is really, really slow and sluggish. It's a really weird battle. You almost get the impression the two teams just didn't... They literally got out of the arena and then were instantly put back in. Both robots look super tired, super slow. It's... Quite frankly, it's not a great... fight?
Yeah, I think I said that as well in my original notes that are now gone into the ether. This wasn't the best heat final, and I can't help but feel as if like maybe they were told to slow it down because Willie Big Cheese's first two fights were incredibly quick. But then granted, like, the first thing that happens as soon as this match starts is Willie Big Cheese gets Crustacean up against the arena and almost flips him out, but for some reason the flipper just kind of went, nah.
Yeah. And
Crustacean does come in with a cheese grater, though, and I appreciate props. Props are very appreciative on this podcast.
And it's just this kind of slightly slow match, and then... The second most disappointing bit of damage alongside a link happens, which is the aerial flies off.
Yeah. Yeah, because like, it was like one of the only impactful flips that Willie Big Cheese got on this fight. It bounces Crustacean up into the air, and the aerial just goes meow in the opposite direction. But yep. It must have been worked on throughout the fight because like Crustacean did keep getting flipped over and flipped over and flipped over a couple of times before it flew off. So it must have just been like getting bent because Crustacean already had started to lose some kind of momentum when the series of flips happened.
Yeah.
So as soon as the thing snapped off, I was like, ah, that's it. This is done for. It's inching along the floor by the end of this, and then Willie Big Cheese just kind of continues flipping it around, like just playing with its food, and then gets into the pit.
Yep.
But yeah, just after Willie Big Cheese's first two performances, yeah, something seemed really off with this one.
Yeah, it's just a bit meh.
But it's through. Let's see what happens in the semifinals for Big Cheeser.
Absolutely. I mean, it's not like it has to worry about Tornado again.
Yeah, well, none of us need to worry about Tornado again this season anyway.
So anyway, I was about to say we'll be back next week, but I forgot something.
Is it the trivia?
Yes.
So, fuck, nobody else is in the flat right now.
This was the only heat in Series 5 where Philippa Forrester would interview the teams in the pit prior to their first round battles and discuss tactics with them ahead of the battle.
Yes, I actually did find that kind of strange.
It's almost like they had a load more time because one robot kept flipping everyone out within 10 seconds.
Yeah.
This battle
It's just thinking, like, just that the editor sitting there just going, like, throwing all his papers up in there. It's like, how the fuck am I going to stretch all this into 45 minutes?
This heat featured Wheelie Big Cheese's record-breaking out-of-the-arena flip of Axor, which is ranked equal sixth with the original record in shortest battles in UK Robot Wars and joint fourth prior to the reboot. This heat also saw Behemoth fail to reach the heat final for their first time.
Ooh.
Newcomers Crustacean become one of only three new teams to reach a heat final in the entire fifth series.
Wow.
Both of Behemoth's opponents in this heat went on to become semi-finalists of the third world championship, where incidentally they would fight each other.
Destiny.
Because Crustacean becomes South Africa's representative in world championships.
South Africa.
Behemoth would, spoiler alert, get vengeance. But we won't say how on Crustacean.
I guess we'll see it at some point, so we'll talk about it then.
Okay, this one I don't know, I suppose I can see where they're coming from. Wolverine was the only robot in this heat not to appear in any other series of Robot Wars.
Yes.
Which is the correction I'm going to make. Techno Games counts, guys. After Wheelie Big Cheese's battle against Axor, Roger Plant jokingly claimed that he'd reread the rules and learnt that flying robots are allowed. This statement was actually true. Flying robots were permitted as long as they did not have an exposed rotating aerofoil. Aside from Plant's own house robot of that nature, no flying robot ever actually appeared on Robot Wars.
In the UK Robot Wars, yes. But remember there was a flying robot in US Robot Wars?
There was?
Yes. And it was in that fight where it was like the two most fucked up robots, and they were like, yeah, let's put that in. And it was like, one robot was like two giant balloons. The other was like a giant spiky ball.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It was just a case of nothing really happened for 3 minutes, but the balloon won somehow, so it had to have a second fight.
And there's also a bit of trivia about when the episode aired on Tech TV, but I'm not going to count that. Basically, okay. Behemoth's introduction wasn't shown in the Tech TV screening of it. Anyway, so that is...
It's almost like that robot's a bit cursed. On Tech TV.
Do it properly.
Now, it's your thing. You need to do it. This is your thing.
Fine. But anyway, we will be back next week.